Having arrived, I'm going to call to order the Industrial Education, Economic Development, Finance, and Policy Committee. Clerk will take the roll.
Representative Pulaski.
Pulaski present.
Representative Pulaski present. Representative Sandell.
Present.
Representative Sandell present. Representative Keel.
Representative Keel present.
Representative Keel present. Representative Bierman.
Present.
Representative Bierman present. Representative Bliss.
Present.
Representative Bliss present. Representative Burkle.
Burkle present.
Burkle present. Representative Frazier.
Present.
Representative Frazier present. Representative Hamilton.
Present.
Representative Hamilton present. Representative Lislegarde.
Present.
Representative Lislegarde present. Representative McDonald. Representative McDonald. Representative Sunstead.
Present.
Representative Sunstead present. Representative Sundin.
Present.
Representative Sundin present. We have a quorum.
Representative Sandell, do you have a motion for us?
I do, Chair Pulaski. I've read the minutes, consider them accurate and complete, and move that they be accepted.
Any discussion on the minutes? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor of the Sandell motion signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion prevails. The minutes are passed. Members, today we're going to have a presentation by the Director of Homeland Security and Emergency Management, Joe Kelly. He's a familiar face in this committee. He's going to give us an update on the disaster account and related issues. So, Director Kelly, welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Mr. Chair and members, good morning. For the record, my name is Joe Kelly. I serve as the state's emergency management director with the Minnesota Department of Public Safety. And thank you, committee members, for the opportunity to provide some basic background information on the state's disaster assistance contingency account and give you an update on its current status. Next slide, please, Jordan. As members will likely recall, the disaster assistance contingency account was established in 2014 under Chapter 12, along with Chapter 12B, which allows for the governor to provide state disaster assistance absent federal aid. Its creation was rooted in the 2012 evaluation report by the Office of the Legislative Auditor titled Helping Communities Recover from Natural Disasters. And among the key actions that the legislature took following that report were, number one, committing to pay the 25% match that's required for federal disaster relief when we get resources from FEMA. Second, it created a framework for providing state-only disaster relief to communities when an event is not the severity and magnitude to qualify or warrant federal assistance. And then three, creating a state account for both of those purposes. The Disaster Assistance Contingency Account provides financial relief to communities by helping them fund the costs of repairing uninsured damage to public infrastructure and extraordinary emergency response costs. And eligible expenses typically range from removing storm debris from city streets to restoring electric cooperative power service to fixing local roads and bridges when they're damaged by floodwaters. By law, by Chapter 12, the account funds the entire 25% non-federal share for federal disaster declarations and the 75% share for gubernatorial declarations when federal aid isn't available. The contingency account has helped Minnesota communities recover from major events that triggered by 5 federal declarations and 58 state declarations since 2014. Mr. Chair, I looked at a previous version of the testimony and I was struck by the fact that the last time I briefed a committee in this way, there had been 40 events that had qualified for state assistance. So that's an increase of 18 over the last couple years. Mr. Chair, members, this account has worked exactly the way you intended since its creation. The governor has not had to call the legislature in a special session for disaster relief, And quite frankly, it's across the country among my colleagues, it's viewed as a best practice. And most of my colleagues wish they had a similar program in their states. Next slide, Jordan. The last 2 years have been active for natural disasters in Minnesota, with 17 natural disasters occurring. All of those were state declarations. But of course, we've had the one historic federal declaration for the pandemic, for the COVID-19 response. You know, for the first time in our nation's history, every single state and territory has been under the same disaster declaration in Minnesota. All 87 counties have been. It says 9 tribal governments because 2 of our tribal governments are applying directly for the federal government, to the federal government for FEMA assistance. What's extraordinary about that federal event, and it's very good news for this committee and for the account, is that the federal government, FEMA, is providing 100% reimbursement for the costs associated with the pandemic response. That is extraordinary in disaster relief history, but it certainly has insulated the disaster assistance contingency account from the extraordinary costs of the COVID response. As you can see, the tally is up around the tab in Minnesota is up around $355 million that the federal government has provided through this program alone, not to mention their other forms of federal assistance. On the state side, Mr. Chair and members, since January of 2020, since the beginning of the pandemic, there have been 17 state disaster declarations that have impacted 40 counties across Minnesota. This account has set aside money to help them, $26.5 million worth of damage. The most recent one, the governor issued a declaration on the 1st of February for 8 counties in southeastern Minnesota that experienced damage caused by the tornadoes and thunderstorms and ice of December 15th. That is the latest recorded tornado outbreak in Minnesota history. There had never been tornadoes in Minnesota in the month of December. A total of 625 local applicants have applied for both state and federal assistance in the last 2 years. The next slide, thank you, Jordan. Just some real quick back of the envelope accounting for the committee. The legislature has appropriated $138 million into this account since 2014. Thank you for the $30 million transfer in the first special session last year. $108.5 million have been transferred out to provide assistance, as members will recall, when there's a disaster declaration, and I'll use the one from last week, $3.1 million worth of damage. We estimate the state assistance of that will be $2.4 million. We take that money out of the main account, and we set up a separate sub-appropriation for those 8 counties and their eligible applicants. And that's what I mean when I say transferred out of the account, money that has been set aside and has either been spent or is waiting to be spent when the local jurisdictions apply for reimbursement. Current unobligated balance of the account is about $29.5 million as of this morning.
Director Kelly, I'm going to stop you here for a second. Can you explain how the $30 million in the September 2021 special session happened? We had passed legislation during the regular session out of this committee. I know it didn't happen with that. I'm still crediting that legislation, by the way, as the impetus for this. But can you explain how that $30 million got into the account?
Yes, Mr. Chair and members. I'll do my best. To my understanding, the way it was written was that if there was more than $30 million of new surplus, when they closed the books on the last biennium, that first $30 million would be transferred into the disaster assistance contingency account. There's some talk or rumor, I never quite understood any connection to transportation funding. But to my explanation is it was a contingent appropriation based on the surplus extra general fund balance that was available at the end of when they closed out the books for the last biennium. And as members know, there was significantly more than that available. So that transfer was made in September. If there's more correct technical details, I defer to the maybe some of the committee staff to help us with that, Mr. Chair.
Director Kelly, I think we're going to get clarification on this in another meeting, but I believe it was a Metro Transit account that they had targeted and had taken the money from. There's a certain irony in that, considering the events of the last year. This is another reason why there's nothing special about a special session. And I'm hopeful that we may be able to clarify a much cleaner way of filling this account, rather than the obscure way that even the director has difficulty describing. So we'll have some clarification on this hopefully in another meeting, and maybe as the legislature proceeds in statute. Thank you, Director Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, since the account has been created, there's a regular pattern and level that is increasing over time. That says, I think, about $22 million a year, between $22 and $25 million a year are transferred out of this account. So I do agree and appreciate your support, Mr. Chair, making a more predictable and regular appropriation into this account, because there's no doubt that natural disasters and other events are going to continue in Minnesota, and our local communities are going to need that assistance. But as of today, with about $29 million in that account, with our average spending transfers being between $22 and $25 million a year, as comfortable as me in my position can be, I feel comfortable that we have, unless there's things that extraordinary that happen, and we know that they do, that this account should be adequately funded for the next year. Of course, we all know, if we've lived in Minnesota for any amount of time, Minnesota weather is unpredictable, spring flooding is unpredictable, but compared to other places we've been with this account at this time of the year in the past, we're in pretty good shape as we stand today, and we certainly appreciate that. If things change on that front, we know that your committee and the legislature will be in session as we see those things unfold as spring approaches here in Minnesota. Mr. Chair, members, that concludes my prepared remarks. So do you have any questions?
All right. No, I'm going to go. I'm just going to add to your comment. When we created the account in 2014, I believe we started with $6 million. And you can see how the number of disasters from 2014 to the present date has expanded the need in that account. And members, remember, while this will help in certain small disasters, the intent of this account is to help kickstart in a major disaster so that we can get aid to those areas as quickly as possible. And then the legislature will pay the final bill when we come back into session. And that's the way the account is intended to work. So quite often, if we would have a major disaster, for instance, in southeastern Minnesota in 2007, the state share of that was $157 million. And the next disaster that happened in Duluth, the state share was $68 million. Those amounts had to be paid by the legislature once it came back into session. But we want to get the aid to this area as quickly as possible, particularly cleanup. Cleanup and making sure that the water is taken care of, any sewer damage, any water clarification damage is taken care of. So with that, members, I'll open it up for questions. And I don't see any questions. You must have done a great job, Director Kelly. Oh, wait, Representative Bierman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So on your last point there about the Duluth expenditure, so if there's not money in the fund, can we spend the money and have a credit for this account? Or how does that work if the fund is too short?
Representative Bierman, if we hadn't had this account in 2014 and a disaster like Duluth had happened, it is most likely the governor would be forced to call a special session, and then we'd be appropriating on the fly. And when we appropriate on the fly in a special session, frankly, it isn't pretty to watch. So, and again, if you have a governor who is recalcitrant in trying to call a special session, and we have had that in one instance, then you're delaying getting aid to those areas. And if you're moving into fall or winter, you're also making it very difficult to recover in case of inclement weather. So the intent of the account is to kickstart and to make sure that we have resources available as quickly as possible.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just one follow-up then. So having reviewed the data that has been provided here now, and we see the uptick in events, and we talk about what we have in the account now and that may be enough based on relative history of the past, but we also identify an increasing trend of weather-related issues causing much more adverse calamities across the state. But also knowing that this session, of course, we're going to end on time on May 18th and be out of here, is it wise to say we have enough in the fund now, or will there be some movement to increase that fund before the end of session this year?
Representative Bierman, it was always my hope to make this a permanent fund, that as it dwindled, we replenish it automatically rather than appropriate ad hoc to it. And you saw how we did it in the June special session of 2021. We have not done that yet. And we have some controversy now with the fund as a result of Governor Walz and how he interpreted fire and the application of disasters. So that's another issue that has to be resolved. And I think that's the problem that we have now with this fund, because we're in a great debate here whether a man-made fire or a natural fire is a disaster worthy of tapping this fund. And I have the legislation here. Rosen has it in the Senate, and I believe there's another bill that's been introduced this session. I don't know if we'll resolve it yet. But my concern is, when we have tornadoes in December, no, I would not have ever imagined that we would have had tornadoes in December in Minnesota, and they would have been significant enough to have been a natural disaster. And it was in my area. I still have trim off my house I have to replace as a result of the winds that came through my area. A nice piece hanging right behind me, in fact, that I have to get a contractor to do. So I monitor this very closely because we have had the impact here and felt it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I'm not so basically what I'm hearing is that the solution is the bill that you have to address this year?
I think the ultimate solution would be to say that we're going to replenish this account as we drain it and make sure that there is a stability in that account for any type of future disaster. And I don't know if we can resolve the differences we've had with interpretation of what a disaster is over the last year. That's probably our stumbling point right now.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I don't see any other questions, and that's the only item on the agenda. Oh, wait, Representative Sandstedt.
Mr. Chair, point of personal privilege.
Yes, point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to take this opportunity to wish you a very happy birthday.
Thank you, Representative Sandstedt. My five-year-old granddaughter called last night. I told her I was seven. She looked at me and said, "Grandpa, I know you're older than I."
So happy birthday, Mr. Chair.
Yeah,
thank you, Mr. Chair.
So, Mr. Chair, we could all go off mute and give you a happy birthday song if you haven't had that yet today.
Representative Bierman, I don't have any rules in any of my committees. I haven't had for decades. And I try to keep the dignity of the House, particularly in committee, at a certain high level. So I don't tell you not to eat, not to drink in front of the entire state. And the singing of happy birthday, we could certainly wait till we all get back into the state office building and we can get in someone's office to do that.
Sounds perfect. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, members. And with that, meeting is adjourned.